help me sing my song.
Help me sing my song.
Little darling, come along
on the bright side of the road.
Little, little, little.
Channel Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins. It's Monday, it's the 16th of December. Angela's
can
getting
I say the C word?
You can say the C word.
It's nearly Christmas.
Nearly Christmas. Good afternoon. My name is Jan Mulligan and that was Angela Breyer Stevenson.
Yes. Hello, everyone. I hope you're sitting comfortably with a nice cup of tea.
We are. Have you had a good week?
I've had a very good week. Remember I was talking about the core of yoga?
Oh, yes.
With more than yoga with Lucia. And we were at the Up-Down Gallery in Ramsgate. So well worth a visit, the Up-Down Gallery. And we were doing our yoga, core of yoga, everything to do with my core. So my stomach was a bit sore. And I felt very honoured because I was doing my upward, downward dog positions, whatever they're called, in front of this huge Picasso.
Ooh,
yes.
Do you think he would have minded?
I'm sure he wouldn't. Well, I don't know. Depends on which angle you're at, I suppose.
Absolutely. So was it well attended?
It was, yes. Very well attended. All sorts of different levels as well, which was great to see. Some people who'd never done yoga at all came along. So it was really, really good. So I recommend it. If you're interested, listener, there's another one on the 22nd of January. So if you just have a look at morethanyoga.co.uk, you'll find all the information you need.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Well, on today's show, we have a fascinating topic and a fascinating guest.
Fascinating waistcoat.
Oh, very nice waistcoat. Good afternoon, Simon Drury.
Good afternoon, Jan.
And this waistcoat is stunning.
It is. I've sent a picture out on Twitter.
Simon gets the fashion award for the year, I think.
Yes. Do you like my Christmas dress? I've got my Christmas dress on.
Not as good as the waistcoat, I'm sorry.
You beat me, Simon. You win.
I am thinking of getting some undies done in the same pattern.
Oh, there you go. There's a marketing opportunity.
That's a different show, Simon.
Yes. Something for the new year, maybe. So Simon Drury joins us today. Your company is Art of Reinvention.
Correct.
That's an intriguing title. And lots of lovely qualifications. We do like our guests with qualifications
on this
show. This
is a fellow MBTI person as well, so we can talk MBTI language.
Okay, an acronym alert.
Another acronym.
And that means?
Bing, bing. That might go on the quiz, you know.
It is. Tell us what it is.
Myers-Briggs Type Indicator. It's a personality preference questionnaire. Remember, I don't say test.
No. Test
it's
is scary.
About preferences, whether you're left-handed or right-handed. That's a preference. It's very much about your personality preference.
Is that a preference?
What, left-handed or right-handed?
Yes.
Mm. If you believe in Carl Jung, yes.
Okay, that's
well, I've
again.
Often said that I'd give my left arm to be ambidextrous.
Absolutely.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Oh, can I do more jokes? Yay!
Later. So, Simon, maybe you could give our listeners a bit of background about yourself, where you started out in your career, how you've ended up being where you are today.
I'd be delighted, Jan. It's interesting because I recently reinvented my business, and because for some years it's been called Art of Reinvention. And although for some time I'd been working with leaders in the corporate field, it never occurred to me that I could apply reinvention to me. And when I was reinventing my business and pulling together all the experience I'd had all over the years, I suddenly thought, well, hang on a minute. Do you know, I've done this myself. Mm-hmm. I've walked my talk and now I've got the opportunity to share it.
Right.
My work life started back in 1974, mm-hmm. and I was a studio potter. So I got a degree in ceramics, and I made and sold pottery.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
And the idea was that...
And where's the pottery today then, Simon?
Well, most of it's... I don't know. Actually, I found a piece. Somebody found a piece in a bric-a-brac shop miles from where I live, years after I'd actually stopped.
Your fame was spread.
Yes. And I thought, good heavens, that's mine. Anyway, that's another story.
Anyway, sorry, I digress.
Yeah. And I then reinvented myself because I needed to get a teaching qualification in case I wasn't able to make ends meet making and selling my ware. I got into teaching. I loved it so much that I stayed there for 14 years.
And what was your topic?
Art and craft.
Art and craft,
interestingly.
Naturally.
After 3.5 years, I moved into special needs education, so I reinvented myself again because I'd only really been trained for mainstream education, and then I found myself in special needs. So it was a new learning process there. And I stayed in special needs for 11 years, during which time I started a business of my own with my wife Marilyn because she had the boys and we needed an additional income because we'd lost hers. We started this part-time business, and it was in the early 80s I discovered personal development, self-development. I'd never come across that before. And although I was developing the youngsters in the special school, they weren't up to the standard where they could take conventional exams.
Right.
And the great thing about that was that we were able to help them as individuals, as small human beings, preparing them for the future. And I got really excited about the whole prospect of developing people. And as a result of that, I set a goal to start my own business doing just that, as a trainer, as a coach, a right. personal coach. In order to do that, I had to move into business, and I got into financial services. So that was a reinvention, never done it before. Didn't really want to do it, if I'm honest.
Quite polarities, isn't that? Oh, art and craft and financial services.
Completely, yes.
I'm sure there's a link in there somewhere.
There is, and I'll come up with something as we go through.
Leave it with him, he'll sort it out.
I was going to say, yeah.
And quickly push myself into sales management so I could start to recruit and develop a team.
Right.
Once again, reinventing myself. I'd never managed in business before. Mm-hmm. And eventually I navigated my way into the training and development faculty within the business, got my wings, during which time I'd done an open university degree in psychology. And on the 1st of January 2003, I stepped away from corporate life and started my own business.
It's that big step of faith. Yeah.
2003, it's a great year to start new business. That's when I started.
All right.
Yeah.
So in truth, I've reinvented myself five or six times throughout my working life, and which goes to prove that if I can do it, you know, other people can do it if they put their mind to it. And I would suspect that if people thought back along their work timeline, that they would, a lot of people would have reinvented themselves without necessarily assigning that word to it.
Right. And your purpose now. You're going to talk to us today about the psychology of motivation and how it links to well-being.
That's right.
So is that the main thrust of your business, or is that one part of it?
It's the main thrust of the new reinvented business.
Right.
I'm still fulfilling a number of corporate contracts that I've been working on for some years.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that as this new business starts to take off, then I can start to step away from the corporate work.
Right.
And it was because of the corporate work I identified this exigent need in particularly people who were high flyers, high achievers, and the fact that they'd worked their way to these prestigious positions. And I identified that a lot of them had a fear that when they moved away from the corporate world, the vehicle, if you like, that it enabled them to achieve these great things, to tick their what we call significance box, in other words, the box that made them feel important, which is really all about ego. And that their fear was that they would become a nobody overnight.
Right.
And having identified this and worked with a particular motivational model, the psychology of motivation, and I thought, okay, I'm recognizing that the world needs something to help these people. What I also discovered was that if we are able to tick our deep psychological need boxes, and there are half a dozen of them in this particular model, then we feel so good.
Right.
And there's we're more able to be authentic, have a fulfilling life, create a meaningful and fulfilling life. The converse is also true. If we can't tick our boxes for whatever reason, we feel that too. And when people step away from the world that has seen them perhaps as a CEO or a financial director, somebody with a prestigious position, and all of a sudden they're not seen like that anymore, they lose direction, they lose a sense of who they are, and that's when their sense of well-being starts to wobble.
Right. So the obvious step is retirement. But presumably there are other occasions, other situations, health possibly.
Yeah, it could be health, it could be redundancy.
Right.
Or even a self-imposed, if you like, career transition. Some people get to the point where they think, you know, I've outgrown the grow bag, that's a term I use. I've outgrown the grow bag I'm in. I need to find somewhere else where I can shine because I've given it all I can give now and I need to move on.
Mm.
And of course, the question then is, well, where do I go? Who do I want to be? How do I want to show up? Mm-hmm. What's my purpose in life? Because that's a really big question. And they have to set the cue ball up for their next shot and create their next chapter, which is what we do.
Right.
I've got it. That's where I've seen him.
Have you seen him before?
At the Crucible.
It's interesting. You're not the first one to have mentioned.
And some of our music tracks we're going to be playing today have been selected by Simon. And this first track you've chosen for us, it's Get Up by Mike and the Mechanics. Does it have a special meaning for you? Is it the lyrics? Is it the sound?
It is the lyrics, yes. Yeah. If you listen to it, the chorus is about get up and do something. An awful lot of people find themselves in a position of inaction.
Right.
And they feel they can't go anywhere, they're trapped, and so they stay put, they become inert. My feeling is that you've got to do something. You've got to get off the fence, if you like. Even if you get off the wrong side, mm-hmm. you'll know it, and then you can take corrective action.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you stay on there and do nothing, you'll be in real trouble long term.
It's right. funny because that's reminding me when we spoke with, well, I spoke with, and then we played the interview with Jesse Pavelka.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember his lovely saying at the end about if you move the body, the mind will follow?
Yes.
So yeah, very much about just do something. Even if it's just a small few steps, but you're at least moving, and then you can start to make some choices based on that movement.
Right.
Well, spot on.
As you listen to this, have a think about that. If you're going to get up, refill that coffee cup, cup of tea, glass of water.
Can I get a boogie?
But you can get up.
Can I?
Get up!
Real Radio. And welcome back to Who Cares Wins. Well, we were bopping in the studio. Angela's trying to sing. It doesn't work. And with us today,
don't
we have...
Don't give up the day job, I know.
Absolutely. Have Simon Drury from Art of Reinvention. Hello again, Simon.
Hi.
And we were talking before the break, your journey and your reinvention as time went by and how you're now helping other people. Can you sum up reinvention for us? What is it really all about?
It is an evolution, a personal evolution, where the essence of who you are is maintained. So the integrity of your deep person is maintained and perhaps shows up in a very different way. So in other words, what you choose to do, where you choose to go, so long as you are authentic, and by that I mean that you live to your values and it feels right for you, something that you can get passionate about perhaps, something that really is a reflection of who you truly are. And when you're able to do that, once again, you feel like you're in the right place, doing the right thing. It has a knock-on effect on so much of your emotional makeup. And of course, then that sense of well-being kicks back in again. It just feels right. And those people who feel there's something missing in their lives right now, maybe in their work, maybe in their non-work, maybe in their life generally, the chances are they need to reinvent, not necessarily their whole life, but maybe part of their life.
Right.
Before you can do that, you need to do some digging around at a psychological level to find out what's going on between your ears, how you feel about that, because it is ultimately a feeling, and what you can then do to maintain that authenticity and how you decide how you're going to show up going forward.
Right.
I've got nothing between my ears. I've been there. I'm still trying to search.
We've known it for a while,
big
haven't
black
we, listener?
Hole. Yes, Jan. I agree.
Perhaps it's tinsel.
Could be.
Yes. There's some sort of fairy lights in there somewhere.
And you mentioned the six boxes in the program.
In the model, yes. I'm intrigued.
Yes.
He's ticking the boxes.
I've been working with a model that I refer to as core need theory. Right. And that simply means that we all have these six deep psychological needs or motivators that we have to satisfy on a regular basis. And in no particular order, that's the need for significance, which means the need to be important, the need sometimes to be individual, hence the flashy waistcoats, to stand out from the crowd, the need for recognition for who we are and what we do. Then there's the need for certainty, which is about having control in our lives and being able to predict what's going on around us, what's going on inside us. And the more we can predict and feel in control, the better we feel.
Right.
And of course, the less so, the worse we can feel. Conversely to that, there's the need for variety, which means people need stimulation. They need choice. Some people couldn't do the same work over and over again. They need all sorts of different things going on. And hence, they become consummate plate spinners. And sometimes, of course, that can work against us because we just take on too much. But we need that external stimulation sometimes. There's the need for contribution. And this, I found, goes hand in hand for so many people with the need for significance. Contribution is about making a difference to the world. It's about giving something back, maybe leaving a valuable legacy. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was Warren Buffett once said, somebody can sit in the shade because somebody else planted a tree.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Absolutely.
It is about making a difference. And of course, what I found is, and this forms such an important part of my work, is that the need for significance and the need for contribution are inextricably linked for so many of us. In other words, I do something for the world, so I tick my contribution box. When the world turns around and says, thank you, Simon, you've done a fantastic job, I get my significance box ticked.
Right.
So they go hand in hand. There's the need for growth, which is about realizing your true potential. And it might be upskilling, educating yourself further, learning more about the world and life. It is about personal growth and that quest that some people have for realizing their true potential. And the final one is the need for connection, which is based upon the need to love and be loved. And that manifests itself in lots of ways for people when they need to belong. They need to be acknowledged, accepted by others.
Right.
And particularly if they're looking to be part of a valuable organization, it feels right. It reflects their values. And when they find this group of people, whether it's in sport or in work or in leisure time, being part of something that's valuable ticks their connection box. And so long as they're accepted by other people, then that's really important too.
And that's,
I think,
very
that
true.
Was six, wasn't it?
Yes, that was,
I
six,
so.
Yes.
I've missed one thing, so I've only got five. Significance, certainty, contribution, growth, connection. I've missed one.
Variety.
Variety is the
variety,
spice of
absolutely.
Life.
Well, it is.
But of course, that's the whole human beings. We are, if you like, made to interact. We're not supposed to be hidden away in a cave on our own. We're supposed to be out there interacting.
We're all different. So would you say that we all need these six things, but possibly at different levels?
Correct.
Or are there some people that actually some of these six don't apply to?
The belief within this theory is that we all have all six to a lesser or greater degree.
Right.
And the more pronounced, if you like, that they are, the greater the need to satisfy them. And for some of us, it's a regular, almost daily quest to satisfy them. And the other interesting factor is that when we do get a tick in the box, we feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
And after a period of time, whether it's seconds, minutes or hours or days or even weeks, the tick decays and we need another tick.
Right.
And we're not happy again until we get that tick. So we keep, and even if we're not aware of that's what we're doing, it underpins our behaviour, our language, our choices, to get these boxes ticked.
Right. We've had some tweet action going on. I noticed a lovely Michelle Wildman. Hello, Michelle. She's retweeted. If you're listening in, welcome. And Jill Tipping has tweeted out that Simon helped her reinvent herself years ago by giving her a job that led her to finding her husband. Top job, Simon.
Fantastic.
Double whammy.
Really happy
job
to help,
and
Jules.
Hubby.
Yeah.
Simon, miracle worker here.
Yeah, I said man of many
Can I
talents.
Give you my wish list.
Are you Santa Claus in disguise?
Yes, it's up the chimney as we speak.
I'm writing my list now.
So as we were talking through those, I was jotting down the six, as Angela was as well. And I can see so many of those being in the workplace setting.
Mm.
And then, as you've said, moving outside of the workplace setting, they could either disappear overnight or it's not so easy to find a way to apply them and to get those tick boxes.
You can't necessarily see that link, can you?
Yeah.
If you're not at work, you don't feel you belong.
So is that where you're working with clients now then? Somebody
yes.
Who's made that transition, or is it in preparation for the transition?
Well, it's both,
right.
Because I meet some people who are coming up to a major change in their work situation. I also meet people who have moved out for whatever reason, and they're suffering, they're
right.
Feeling it. And, you know, as a business psychologist, I'm able to look at the business context and overmap it with the whole essence of human psychology and work with this, recognizing that, of course, ultimately it's linked to feelings. You know, the bottom line, my belief in the whole of humanity is that everything is driven by our need to feel good.
Right.
And when somebody, as I alluded to earlier, has created a position for themselves in their work where they occupy a very elevated position and then they step away, that can go, literally, as you've said, overnight. And I was talking to a client a little while back, and he said that he was a financial director of a global company, very powerful. And he retired, and he actually summed it up beautifully. And his quote's on my website. He said, "One day I was somebody, the next I was nobody."
Mm,
and
yes.
It really hurt. Mm. And he left the company seeing himself, his self-image said financial director with power.
Mm-hmm.
When he stepped away, the world didn't see him like that.
Mm.
So there was that, all of his identity was shot to bits, and he struggled. And in fact, the funny thing was that because he wanted to still feel like he was making a contribution, he turned one of his bedrooms into an office And day one, when at 11 a.m., of course, he had a PA who ran around after him.
Right.
At 11 a.m., he called downstairs and asked his wife to bring him a cup of coffee. And unfortunately, as we're on air, I can't repeat what she said. However,
should we post that as another quiz?
Well, yes, you could. Yes, answers on a postcard.
Yes, please.
And this is what happens, you know, right. And they're stripped of everything they see themselves.
Mm-hmm. And it's that business card, isn't it? It's gone. That was them, and now they haven't got that.
Hence the need for reinvention. Now, of course, if they haven't got to that point yet, and it's approaching this major change, then set the cue ball up for the next shot. Mm. Okay, this is going to happen, or I'm going to be moving on. What do I need to do to prepare? And in fact, Lee Iacocca, who was the chief exec of the Chrysler Group for some years, when he was asked about his retirement, he said, people say you need to prepare financially when you retire. He said, no, you need to prepare psychologically.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm. And so how do you approach a client? What do you work through with the client? Is it very different for each individual? Or is there a process that you would sit down, have an interview? Are there exercises that you ask them to follow? Readings?
There's also, in my head, it's some similarities there. And forgive me if this is a bit crass, but Simon, the outplacement that I've been through and that sort of world where people in quite senior executive positions, go to potentially get signposted to outplacement. And they are useful. I'm not putting them down. Anyone in outplacement, you do a fantastic job. Are there similarities with what they offer, or is there something different? Hence why they would come to you or seek you out.
There is an overlap, and what I bring is a niche focus.
Right.
It's very much driven by this need for significance. In fact, the strap line for my business is personal significance beyond corporate life. Mm-hmm. And so it is in a sense an outplacement function, and in a corporate it would be embedded in the HR function within
and
the organisation.
For those who haven't heard, outplacement refers to?
Yep, outplacement Simon.
Well, it's about planning for the next step.
Right.
So it could be helping them find another job, put their CV together, looking at career transition, that sort of thing.
Okay.
And it's a very, very valuable service. Mm-hmm. And what I do to add to that is this focus on the need to tick their motivational boxes.
Right.
And you'll have to remind me what your question was, because I got lost in that.
If I come to you, if I've heard your name,
yes, that's
what
right.
is it you're going to offer? What are you going to ask me to do? What am I going to expect from you?
Yes. Well, I've created a suite of mentoring products, and everybody goes through this, whichever one they choose, they go through the same process. So we look at the psychology, their personal psychological profile with special focus on their motivational needs. They start to get a deeper understanding of what makes them do what they do and why they've got to where they are and what they might need going forward. We then look at bottling their wisdom. So for older people, certainly, you know, they've got 30 or 40 years perhaps of insight and experience and knowledge. How could they bottle that? Maybe turn it into a product and or a service that people will pay for. I often hear people say, well, you know, when I've moved away, I'll be on the scrap heap. I don't believe that. That there's something that can be done. And it may be that they look at a book, creating a book or become a public speaker or create some CDs or DVDs that other people can benefit from with their wisdom. We look at identity. We look at purpose, the importance of having a purpose which gives us direction in life. You know, and so many people don't ever find that out.
Right.
It was Mark Twain who once said, the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why. And when we know
searching.
What our...
I'm still searching.
Well, you know, the funny thing is most people are.
Yeah.
And when people get their purpose, all the decision-making falls out of that.
Mm.
Does what I'm about to do or about to say support my purpose? If it doesn't, then maybe I choose not to do it. If it does, great, let's get on. And that's where the authenticity comes out and that feeling of rightness.
Right.
So, and then ultimately we look at the must-haves. You know, if you could wave a magic wand and have specific things in your next chapter, what would they be? And the sky's the limit.
Right.
And then once we've got all that stuff, we're able to craft their next chapter to give them as much significance, contribution, to tick the boxes that are so important to them.
Excellent. Another fantastic guest leading neatly into our next piece of music.
And also we've had John Tipping, who's been on John's the show on earlier in the year.
John.
Hey, John. And he has said, yes, Simon, thanks for that.
Is that the job or the marriage?
I think, both. I'm assuming it's the marriage.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Now, Sorry, John.
So you mentioned that the last bit was that wish list, and that's sort of the dream.
Yes.
And our next piece of music is called One Dream.
Oh, sorry.
So we're going to play that and we'll be back.
It's a good job I don't, I'm not really into music.
Absolutely. Here we go.
We can feel a change is coming, like a kiss upon the tide, breathing life into every heart, a hopeful kind of times. As we walk this road together, though at times we felt alone, struggle to lift us up, we'll find a strength I'm yet to find. You carry the courage, carry the history of all who've gone before you. Wherever you come from, you're born of the one dream that finds you.
If you fall asleep at the wheel, you'll put your life in danger and the lives of others as well. Before you feel tired, pull off the road into a services or other safe area, drink some strong coffee, and take a quick nap while the caffeine kicks in.
If you're having a nap, you've left your lights on, sir.
All right, cheers.
Think. Don't drive tired.
Radio. And welcome back to Who Cares Wins. Well, that was a lovely song there, the dream song.
Ooh.
Nice and relaxed after our bop with the get up.
And also very appropriate words in there too.
Absolutely. So we're back with Simon Drury from Art of Reinvention. I always want to put a the in the front of that. I'm afraid that's
an awful lot of people. Yeah. It's okay. I won't hold it against you.
Thank you very much.
Be off with you. Sit in the corner. I'm intrigued, Simon. You've mentioned the CEOs, those perhaps in they've sort of reached a certain part of that ladder, or we've talked about people perhaps looking at retirement, either forced or chosen. Is that the only area of, if you like, the age of the population that you look at, or is it the younger wonderful people out there, our young adults?
That's a really good question, Angela. The truth is that although I focus mainly on, shall we call them the third ages, it doesn't preclude younger people, because there are younger folk who may find themselves in the wrong grow bag for whatever reason. Mm. They need to get out. They need to reinvent themselves. They feel that they're on the wrong track. Mm-hmm. Something's not right. There's a gap. And, you know, it does apply to anybody. And what I've found as I've done more and more research is that, for example, officers leaving the armed forces, this applies big time to them.
A lot
of them are only in their 40s. Mm. Or maybe early 50s.
A lot of them going to HR.
Well, they do, and security and so on.
Yeah.
But they carry this deep self-image that has to come out, and finding the best place for that is important. So really, it can apply to anybody at any time. Mm. And I do find some people who are going back to older people, they say, well, you know, I'm too old for this. Mm-hmm. I'm too old to reinvent myself. Well, my feeling is that's not so.
No.
If they choose to believe that, then they probably are right.
Yes.
However, you're never too old to reinvent yourself.
No.
And if you look at the history books are full of amazing people who have done that. For example, a woman who had a lifelong dream to write a children's novel. Mm-hmm. And she finally wrote, and forgive me, her name has completely gone. However, the book title remains. I think it was Archibald's Swiss Cheese Mountain. It became a bestseller. She wrote it when she was 90.
Wow.
Fantastic. A woman who was a 65-year-old grandmother who started a paper mill industry and is now turning over something like $7 million a year. You know, and even famous people like Colonel Sanders. Mm-hmm. He started, yes. He bought his first franchise.
Real?
Yeah, absolutely, yes, real person. Yeah, 64
but he was,
when he started his KFC
years.
Empire.
Wow.
Incredible. You're never too old. And, you know, that old saying about you can't teach an old dog new tricks, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. And from a psychological perspective, what's so exciting is that the widely held belief in psychology for so long was that so much of our psychology was hardwired when we were very small. And what we now know is that it's our brains are malleable, which means that we can take on board and retain new memories. Mm. We can upskill. We can learn new things. We refer to this as neuroplasticity.
That's the one we've mentioned on here before.
Oh,
fan also of not only mindfulness, but Dr. Joe Dispenza. And Change Your Mind, Change Your Brain, or whichever way around. Sorry, Joe, if I've got that the wrong way around.
Well, if it's Change Your Mind, Change Your Brain, Change Your Future, change and ultimately change your feeling. It can be done. You're never too old.
Right.
And you're never too young either, which is really exciting news.
Absolutely. And would you work with, or have you worked with, perhaps within the schools when they're coming up to look at either options, or they're leaving school and wondering sort of, well, I'm moving on from being a student, a pupil, to now working life. That's a reinvention.
Yes, it is. I haven't worked with young people at that sort of stage in their lives.
Sure.
It might be something for Art of Reinvention in the future.
Mm.
And so what we're seeing here really is that people reinvent themselves throughout their whole lives.
Yes,
Without realising it, yes. And there are some things that we need to take account of in order to be able to do that intelligently,
mm-hmm.
with that forethought and that information. So it's not an arbitrary stick a pin in which future I can go for.
Oh,
it can be a more scientific approach.
Yeah. And you were talking earlier about the memories we have. And there's a fascinating project that you're involved in at the moment.
That's right. It's a project that a company that I'm associated with is developing. And in fact, they're wanting to write a report about this. And what they're looking for is are case studies.
Right.
Case studies of people who are 60 and over, who have reinvented themselves and are prepared to go on to local radio and talk about their reinvention journey and experience. So if anybody out there believes they have reinvented themselves, they're over 60, men or women, who are prepared to go on local radio, we are looking for these case studies, then please get in touch with me. And my website is www.artofreinvention.co.uk.
And we'll post that on Facebook
and tweet it out.
Perfect, thank
you. I'm tweeting about it now.
Excellent.
You could email me on simon@artofreinvention.co.uk if you want to be considered as a case study. That would be completely brilliant. So I'll look forward to hearing from you.
And so as we mentioned earlier, somebody might have reinvented themselves without realising it. Mm-hmm. So it might be reflecting on your life and thinking about major changes that took place.
Yes.
That either you had some degree of control over or possibly not. Can you? Would you say you can reinvent yourself if you are taken down a route rather than leading yourself down a route?
Now, that's an interesting twist, really. I think, Jan, that yes, you can, because circumstances, external circumstances, might sort of manoeuvre you in a certain direction where, in a sense, you're forced to reinvent yourself. Now, I have another belief around this, and we don't have time to go into this, but I happen to believe that that wasn't a coincidence, that wasn't an accident,
right?
Because I don't believe that any behaviour is coincidental. Any, we create these opportunities for ourselves, most of them at an unconscious level.
Yes.
So, you know, but that's a debate over a large bottle of brandy.
And preferably a nice, comfy chair.
And the festive season. Well, it could, absolutely. Cherry brandy, perhaps. Anyway, so yes, it may appear that external forces are at play and creating that. However, it's still an opportunity for reinvention.
Right. Mm. So, listeners, if you or anybody you know have reinvented yourself, have had changes...
And you're over 60.
And you'd like to share your story, ultimately for a local radio station, and that's around the country, isn't it?
That's around the country, yes. They'll be invited, those who are picked will be invited to be interviewed on local radio, local to them.
Right.
And they will become case studies within this report. Great. And it'll be a very special opportunity, so go for
indeed.
It.
Indeed. I mean, it's a double whammy. Or who cares wins? It's a win-win situation. They can be on the air, they can promote it, they can inspire others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So whilst you have a think about that and whether you want to contribute, we're going to have, for Angela,
yes.
Bit of Christmas music.
It's got to be done. You've just got to get into the swing of things, Jan.
Top up that cuppa.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now. be together if the fates allow. Hang a shining star upon the highest bar. A merry little Christmas now. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Channel Radio.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins,
yeah,
and our lovely guest.
Just, I love that song because for Christmas, a lot of people are looking at Christmas. It's stress, it's rush, it's hyper, it's all this masses of activity. And I like to remind people, if you celebrate Christmas, remember the true origin, why you're doing it. If it's about getting together with family, being, as you know, Jan, I'm very passionate about it, being very present with where you are at that point and enjoying those milliseconds of enjoy of making those memories really, really valuable. And so just stop and enjoy it. Right, if you're standing in a queue in one of the supermarkets and your trolley's overflowing, just stop and look around and smile at someone and just make
scare them rigid
or in
make
me,
eye contact.
I just jump about and make everyone laugh anyway, because yes, I'm crazy, but that's a different story.
And that was a nice mellow tune.
Yes,
almost
calm
drifting
down
off there.
Yes,
nice and calm. So welcome back to our guest today, Simon Drury. Thank
Hi.
You for joining us, Simon.
Mm.
And
can we have another hour's show, please?
We could.
Simon?
We say it every
I'm
week.
I'm enjoying this so much. I can't tell
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Great.
You so much.
We know you've locked you in. You can't get out.
Nicked my car key.
That's it.
So as we always say, the hour is just rushing by.
It does.
So we'd like to just give our guests at this point an opportunity to say, is there anything else that you'd like to tell our listeners about that maybe we haven't had a chance to ask you about yet?
Well, can I jump in
as well? A question from the floor.
You may even be mentioning it, but there was something we discussed. There's an offer, is there not, Simon?
There is an offer, and this is on my website. So if you go to the site, you'll see there is somewhere where you can register alongside my homepage video. It's a short video, worth having a check, where you can register for my three pillar videos. And these are three of the five pillars, literally an overview, of course, that support the whole notion of reinvention, personal significance beyond corporate life. And it'll give you a greater insight into what I do and what's important for you to do if you want to reinvent yourself.
Mm.
Also, you'll see a bit further down the homepage and on other pages, there is a box that you can click on to register for a free 45-minute strategy session with me. So that could be over the telephone, Skype, even face-to-face if you are not too far away from London or the southeast, where we can start to work on your reinvention strategy. What is it? What boxes do you need ticked? Because you really do need to get to grips with that. So I'm very happy to give you 45 minutes of my time to
Wonderful.
Get you started.
That's a very generous offer.
Well, that's okay, because I know it's important. And it may take a bit of courage. It's confidential. Nobody else will know about it. And if it makes a difference to the way you feel about yourself and your sense of well-being, go for it. Don't hesitate any longer. Mm. If you just know that something has to change, then get in touch and we'll start the whole process.
If you then reinvent yourself and you're out there, come along and tell us on the radio show, because you can
Absolutely.
Inspire
Share
others.
Your story with
come
others.
What
and
a
share
great
your story.
Idea.
And so one question we haven't asked, you're touching on that, is that if I come along and I see you, how long might I spend with you on any given session? And then how long over a period of time might I be in contact with you?
There are three entry points to my mentoring programs. So the people who want to do it really fast, the top of the range, as it were, can be done over 3 days.
So that's the Ferrari.
If you like, yes, it's the intensive.
It is the Ferrari.
Sorry. Actually, that reminded me, you know, about funny story, doing the old Christmas shopping. I said to my wife last year, what would you like for Christmas? She said, I want something that's red, shiny, and goes from 0 to 180 in 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I bought her a set of scales. I've got a hammock in the shed now. So.
That's that black eye, because yeah, she's preempted right. it this year.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the plot.
So I thought you'd bought
it
a
can be done
then.
In 3 days. And the mentoring is part online, so there are lots of activities and exercises and questions to answer, which I reply to online. Mm. And two of the three have me personally for one-to-ones. Right. The second one can be done over 3 months, so that's a longer one for people who want to take their time. And then the final one is the boot camp, which is a 10-week one, mm-hmm. which, again, most of that's online with a bit of me. Right. But obviously, the more of me that you have, the more expensive the
sure.
the fee.
And when you say, for example, the first one is 3 days, is that 3 6-hour worth, or is that cherry picking times across the 3 days to go away and do an exercise for an hour and have a think about something and report back?
It's your choice.
Your choice.
Your
right.
choice. I have had one person who recently did over 3 consecutive days, so we were tied up. So they did some online work, then mm-hmm. we hooked up on Skype, then they did some more online work, then back on Skype again.
Right.
If you want to split the 3 days up over a week or two, that's entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. But it is far more intensive than the other two programs.
Certainly. And so that presumably is the most flexible option, whereas the 10-week boot camp, is that more structured?
It's certainly more structured. It right. is designed to fit into 10 weeks. Right. So there's a module and some follow-up work mm-hmm. each week.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So would you like to just, for our listeners, give them one more time your website, your email?
Oh, Jan, I nearly burst into song then. One more time.
She's a one, isn't she?
She is. She
great.
Is.
I'm sure it the was Christmas you I saw busking in Dimchurch the other weekend.
Don't tell everybody. That's for 2014. Hot news.
It's one of my long-term goals to do an hour's busking somewhere. It's got to be done.
Oh, well,
then.
If you want a backing vocal, you know, I can stand there doing the
shoe-wop-bop. You have a past life as a rock band. Not all on your own, but with
yes,
others.
Yes, a one-man rock band. Well, I've been in and out of groups, bands, right. since I was 14, and I'm still in them.
And where might people have heard you?
Ooh, well, we haven't produced anything that we've marketed. We've done right. promo CDs. Mm-hmm. And we gig around the West Sussex, Surrey area, right. Gatwick area.
And do you have a band at the moment that somebody might
yes,
be looking
for? Yes, the band
out
is called the Mind Sweepers, M-I-N-D, oh. hey. Sweepers.
Very good.
And I do most of the lead vocals mm-hmm. and fool around on the stage, at the front of the stage. Do a bit of drumming and a little bit of backing guitar as well.
Brilliant. Right.
Well, so if you want to
if
hear
Simon... If the Stones
Simon,
can do it, then
absolutely.
So can indeed. I. Reinvented wow. myself
See,
again.
You've got a set of drums. I could come round and have a go.
Well, I haven't, unfortunately. I have to rely on the drummer to provide them.
So I would be like Animal. Do you remember Animal?
Oh,
the
yes.
Animal. That would be me.
Yes. No tune, just bang.
Excuse me, Jan. I'm a classically trained flautist, you know.
Florist, did you say?
Yeah. So if you want to hear Simon,
plant, yes.
that's Minesweepers.
The Minesweepers, yes.
If you want Simon's business services, the website is?
www.artofreinvention.co.uk.
That's excellent. And email?
simon@artofreinvention.co.uk.
And as you were seeing, if you're on Twitter, Simon's Twitter account is Simon T. Drury. And we will post all of those details and many more onto Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all of our other services.
Yep. All the contact details normally go under the photos on Facebook, so it makes it easier to find. Absolutely. And you can see what he looks like.
There you go, with that
Twitter.
Wonderful waistcoat.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Simon.
It's
been
a pleasure to
have you.
Pleasure,
fantastic.
Jen.
Great
Angela,
to meet you.
Thank you.
And we're just going to now do our regular event slot.
Yes, there's a few.
There's a few.
I have been liaising with Lorraine Sarah March, who is, again, somebody I know through various contacts. She's into yoga. She teaches yoga. And I said I'd give her a shout out because she's doing a fantastic 8-week program starting on the 8th of January.
Something for the new year.
Yes. And it is Dancing Through the Chakras.
Ooh.
It's going to be a drop-in class costing £6 if you want to just drop in, or you can pay up front for the whole lot for £45. If you want to get hold of Lorraine Sarah March, you can go onto Facebook if you're on Facebook, and it's Kent Yoga Works, all one word. If not, again, I'll put the link on Facebook and on Twitter and on the LinkedIn group. So if you wanted to book up for that, it's a link with Kundalini Yoga, if anyone knows that particular style of yoga.
Okay.
So yes, very interesting. I'd love to go. Unfortunately, I'm not available that date, which is a shame. And of course, don't forget Martin Fever. I want to go into another song there, but I won't. Martin Fever, you remember he was on the show a few weeks ago, and he is doing his wonderful vision workshop in 2014. And let me just get the details so that I don't tell you any porky pies. themindbodyconnection.co.uk/workshops. And you'll see the first one that pops up is the Vision Board Workshop, Saturday the 11th of January, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And if you want to get hold of him and contact him to book, there is an early bird price. If you book two people, it's only £57. And you can book early bird is up to the 20th of December, which I believe is Friday.
Okay, so you've got this week to book into that.
So yes, great way to start. I love vision boards. I get people to do that. Great way to start the new year.
Excellent. And we're aware an awful lot of our guests and listeners like to raise money for charity.
Yes.
And this month, it's Child Cancer Awareness Month. And
oh, great.
The website, www.clicsargent, so it's clicsargent.org.uk, and search their website for the Child Cancer Awareness Month.
They've been on Business
Month.
Bunker as well, some of the people raising for
right.
that. It's a great charity, great
Excellent.
Charity.
And on next week's show,
next week
we've been promising
which is the
you
23rd
this for
a, of December, 23rd,
promising
so
you this show
Christmas
for quite a
coming.
While, haven't we?
You may recall Jan and I went to the Wellbeing Symposium. We had Rory Murphy on the show talking about it in the run-up to the 13th of November. 13th?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was all about wellbeing. And wellbeingpeople.com hosted it along with the sponsors of Golding Homes. Mm. And we went along, experienced things like the smoothie bike and the kiosks. And we also interviewed lots of different people that were there, including Ben McGannon, who is the director of wellbeingpeople.com. Mm-hmm. So we have now, Jan and I, worked so hard over the last few weeks, we haven't slept. And we've put all the little snippets together into a show for you next week. So tune in to hear everything about the Wellbeing Symposium that we can get in 60 minutes.
So, yes, an awful lot we had to leave out. The embarrassing bits mainly, folks.
Oh,
falling off the bike.
I might have left them in there,
Oh, no. And to finish off our day today, we're going to have a wonderful inspirational insight from our guest, Simon Drury.
This is a quote that I've got on the back of my business cards by George Bernard Shaw. And this is so dear to my heart, and I'm sure other people will recognise this.
Mm.
We don't stop playing because we get old. We get old because we stop playing.
So true.
Exactly. See, Jan,
keep
that's why I play in
Tigger.
Visiting
the sand tray. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Visiting the sand tray.
It is.
So thank you for listening, everybody. We hope you have a lovely week. Final wrapping of presents, buying of cards. If you don't celebrate Christmas, just try and enjoy the season and the weather. Hopefully it won't be too bad.
Or a good excuse for a day off work. If you are at work and they're all celebrating, you
Absolutely.
Just have a day off to relax, unwind, or perhaps reinvent yourself.
So we'll play you out with the bright side, as we always do. But immediately after that, we have Christmas Cake from Mark Nevin. Brilliant single for the season.
Single.
Have a good week, everybody.
Yes, enjoy yourselves.
Bye for now.
We'll talk to you next week.
summer, don't know why.